We have John Barron back with us today. Alexander teacher, trainer, innovator for 25 years, previous actor in England on both stage and film, who had his own problems with back pain that led to his learning about Alexander technique, which is what we're going to talk about again today. John, nice to have you back
today.
You know, we talked about what Alexander work is yesterday, and it's not just a matter of fixing people who have pain. It's looking at the whole person. It's a holistic approach to healthcare. So we're looking at the inseparable nature of body, mind, emotion, and spirit. I love this work for that reason. Now, when you do your work, you're really seeing a wide range of different kinds of people that come in. What are some of those ranges that you see, and what do you do with these people? And we'll tell some stories today about that.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons I really, really enjoy my work so much, because I'm working with all different types of people, different ages. You know, sometimes they can be fairly young, you know, in their teens, etc., or well into their 80s and 90s occasionally, all different walks of life. And because of that, one has got to try and, as a teacher, try and see how these, how you can really teach these principles and adapt them so that they can really be used by these all these various individuals who show up.
That requires a lot of flexibility on your part, because it's not one size fits all.
Not at all.
You're looking at individual problems and different ages and ranges and different, you know, different sexes.
And the way people think differently. And so you're forever thinking, well, how can I best explain this idea? Not just, you know, to give them the, you know, the data and the information, but how will this be received by this type of person? What will inspire them?
How to make it practical so they can use it.
So a lot of people, you see, will come and they'll have a reason for coming. And I think it's important to go with that.
Okay. What are some of the reasons why people come in?
Well, let's take one, like a musician coming in, because musicians, due to the way that they play their instrument and also, you know, the pressures that they're under, they can develop a lot of necessary injuries. Not only that, but they also need to deal with performance anxiety and want to be able to play their instruments with the, you know, the appropriate amount of tension and balance and freedom.
So, well, if you get stiff and you're nervous, you can't express yourself. Part of what you're saying is that you helping to free up their muscle tension by freeing up their minds and allow them to be in what I would call the zone. What we call, a lot of athletes talk about that. So you can actually prepare them and teach them how to get into that zone where they are the music.
That's nice. And because there's so much that's going on in a performance, if you think about it. So they have to very much be at ease in order to just simply convey the music and be at ease in themselves, too.
And then be an artist, which means they put their own spin on what they do. I know in my sport, in tennis, which is a little different than playing music, you don't see too many players who have the same style. They're all a little bit different, and it's all their personality coming through what they do. So part of what you do, I have the feeling, is to center people into being who they are.
And the amazing thing for me has always been to see that the way that that happens is not by doing anything, but by recognizing how we are interfering with our natural ability to be freely and easily connected, and then learning what to specifically undo.
So you're talking about the difference between doing and being.
That's right.
When you're present in the moment, you're automatically in the zone. And when you're thinking about it, it's impossible to be in the zone because fortunately we're not very smart. You can only be in one place or the other. We don't do two things at the same time that are that require conscious awareness. Thank God for the autonomic nervous system. So you can breathe and have your blood do all the things it's supposed to do without thinking. So when you're working with somebody who's an artist, then one of your jobs would be to help them to be who they are and in the best balance they can be physically and emotionally. That, interesting way to
bring them to that level of performance. And we can take that as an analogy for people in other professions, for someone who is working in an office. They all express it very differently, how they work. They have a lot of pressures on them, you know, especially deadlines, etc., or difficulties within the office in interpersonal dynamics, etc. All that affects how they hold their body.
Right.
As well as, you know, having to sit in a damn chair for 8 to 10 hours a day, which, in my opinion, that was never meant to happen.
So you could work actually in two different ways. One is you can work at the physical level, at the body level, and that will affect emotions too. Yes. There's this thing called the body-mind relationship, but also the mind-body.
Yes.
So stress can affect the way we carry ourselves, but the way we carry ourselves can affect our emotions.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, if we, for instance, just think about the, you know, tonic neck reflexes, and if we hold the large neck muscles very tightly, it produces that fear and flight response, which produces the adrenaline, which again produces the associated emotions connected to that, which keeps us locked in that state of being. So we can't just deal with the muscles and bones and think, hey ho, or drop a pill. You know, to have effective health, we have to have in some way an awareness of the connectedness or on the ways that habit actually disconnects us so that we can get back into that connection. And the means for that can be explored through this work, the Alexander Technique.
I think it's marvelous because, you know, in my profession in medicine, I'm an internist.
Yeah.
We don't think of things like that so much, and we're missing out. Because we tend to get into the biochemistry and into the physiology and look at drugs and surgeries and technologies to get people out of their sick bed, back on their feet and back to work, and not thinking about the holistic nature of what we're dealing with.
Well, in essence, I think our natures are holistic.
They have to be.
It's just that learn through our learning process, our education, we disconnect.
Yeah, we discount it.
Yeah.
And then we become dysfunctional.
Yes.
And then people come to see you. So besides musicians and maybe athletes, who else would come to see you?
Actually, I see a lot of people who are in pain, who've been injured.
So they've got a back problem or
they have a back
neck
problem,
or
neck
shoulder.
Problems, whatever. I oftentimes get referrals by physicians who know about this work.
Yeah.
And they know that the use affects functioning. That means the way that we, again, hold ourselves together, how we express ourselves, affect the functioning. So that if there's what we call misuse, these patterns that we all accidentally acquire, then misuse affects functioning, and it's a negative effect.
So you're much like a chiropractor in some ways, because you're working with body alignment, posturing so that the alignment is natural and appropriate for who that person is, and that allows the person to come back into a balance. So, for example, if somebody's got a fallen arch, they may come to you with hip pain or knee pain or back pain, and you know enough about that situation that you can go back and discover where it's coming from and either do something yourself or make a referral. Can you give me an example of something like that where you...
Well, we take the, you know, the falling arches, et cetera.
Okay. I mean,
because I think that's a big issue today in that so many people that I see come in and they've got the latest fashion, which are called inserts in the shoes. And not only do they not get them from podiatrists, but they actually get them from the shoe salesman.
Yeah, right, who really is well-trained in
really
body well-trained, mechanics, right?
That's it.
Let's see, buy these pair of shoes. Wouldn't you like one that's brown as well?
I mean, I hope they make a good commission, but at the same time, you know, I mean, is that the correct means?
Yeah.
And so therefore, you can't just look at the foot. You have to look at what's going on upstairs from the ankle.
Yeah, really.
Not only physiologically, but also what's happening in the way a person thinks.
Yeah.
The way they express themselves. Are they frenetic in their expression? All that connects to a holding or a disconnection in the whole structure, which will put pressure onto the arch. What one will see is that by releasing tension in the head, neck, and back, for instance... And getting the realignment there so that there's those tight muscles are not remaining so tight that they're opening. And very generally, I'm speaking now, you know, the whole opening of the muscles can open the whole skeletal structure that gives us that lightness.
Exactly.
But that has a huge effect on the feet.
Sure. I think that everything's connected to everything else.
Absolutely.
And when you look at it that way, it gives you an opportunity to help the person come back into a kind of balance that is different than when you just look at the neck, for example, they got a neck pain.
Yes.
And you just work on the neck.
Yes.
You've ignored the rest of how the body is put together.
Yes.
And you may relieve the pain in the neck, but it's going to come back.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we have to look at that, like where a person is holding themselves.
Mm-hmm. And maybe why they are,
and
too.
And why they are, right. And to work with undoing it. But you can't just undo a holding in the neck or the knee or the foot, because the holding is always in the self.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. See, what you're talking about is the concept of holism here. And we've lost that in so many other disciplines.
Yes.
And what's amazing is that here is a bodywork technique that's much more than just looking at mechanics. It's looking at the whole person and how they fit together psychologically, spiritually, and physically, and then looking for ways to modify that so they can become more functional in all those domains. So you're not just working on pain in the neck. You're working on their emotions and their spirituality at the same time.
But that... It's more that the when they do release, that all those things start to come together. It's not that I'm doing it, you know, like the Wizard of Oz or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
well, it
this
feels
is a teaching
way,
process,
yeah. Yes.
And we're encouraging people to let go in certain areas. Now, I have to say that when we do that, we don't just talk to people, because that won't work. That would just be giving them a bunch of ideas. How they would embody those ideas would be very questionable. What we have is that we have a skill, and I think this is really important to explore, and I'm sure we'll do it later, the skill that the technique has, the art and the craft of the technique, which is the kinesthetic education through touch, through the means of the hands.
Huge stuff.
It's a huge stuff, and it's wonderful stuff to explore and
stuff
find
we'll
out
talk about tomorrow, maybe,
we will
because
indeed.
We all of a sudden we've gone through another show here. So we're talking with John Barron, Alexander teacher, trainer, innovator, and he has a studio. Okay, he's got a couple of them. One in Berkeley where he does Alexander educational training with Jura Pincus. Also has a private practice in Sausalito and does corporate training, okay, for people who have to prevent injuries and to manage pain. You can reach him at 415-289-9646. That's 415-289-9646. Thanks again, John. This is really exciting.
Hey, I enjoyed it. Thanks, Lynn.